I want to turn to the fourth chapter of Acts this morning and read a lesson. And at the conclusion of the reading, I'd like for the singing group to come up here to the microphone and sing a little part of my message. I want you to sing, "Send the Power Down." So have your books ready and be right ready to get up here. We'll begin reading with verse 23. "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And that's reading from verse 23 through verse 37 of the fourth chapter of Acts. Now I'd like to have your song.
As we gather here in thy presence, Lord, a consecrated and holy ground, that we all may bear witness now for thee, O Father, send the power down. Purify each heart with refining fire. Let perfect loveliness abound. With all dross removed and each vain desire, oh, Father, send the power down. Oh, send the power down.
Thank you for that song. That's a valuable and important part of my little message this morning. I'm sure that's the prayer of all of our hearts, is that God's power would be sent down upon us and in our midst. That's what we want, but do we want it bad enough to pay the price for it? Now, there are some conditions for that to be brought about, which are set forth in this lesson that I read here a few moments ago. And I would like to remind us that this that I read is not some out of this world experience. It's just a right down-to-earth, solid experience. This is the Jerusalem church, fresh from the hand of God. That's just the way it was, and He made it like this, and there was no fault in it. He just started it out just like He wanted it, and His power was right in the midst of it, working right among them, and this is the model. This is the model for this entire age of time. We cannot establish the true identity of the Church of God by succession, but we must establish it by comparison. And here we have the model, and this is what we are to strive for, and we aren't to settle for anything less than this. Just lay our experience, whatever it is, right down on this and cut right to the measure and see how we fit, how we compare. Now, I would say at the very outset, and I'll not get too far this morning, I don't suppose, because it's past 11:30 now. But I would say at the very outset that a good policy for us or for any church to follow is to measure ourselves by this. At any point that we find ourselves short on, concentrate on that. All of us concentrate on it together. Work together. till we have whipped that thing and are up to par there. We scatter our shots so much sometimes that it's ineffectual at any point. And as we proceed, we might find numbers of things that we needed help on and just try to go to work on all of them and maybe not get very far with any of them. But if we'll just concentrate right on one point and all of us concentrate right on it till we whip that, then get a hold of another one and follow the same thing through, we would find ourselves shaping up and moving up. I've thought in comparison to this, I've been in contact with very serious sickness numbers of times in my life, and sometimes it's been in my own family. And we sit there and anxiously watch, and we pray, and we hope that things are improving, but if something flares up and looks like a backset, maybe, we just kind of swallow hard and just start praying again. And we keep that up till victory comes. If we would follow that course in our spiritual lives, individually and collectively, and when anything shows up in our lives or among us that isn't what it should be, go right to work on that. And if it seems like things get better, but pretty soon it flares up again, just swallow hard and pray right on till we have overcome that thing, whipped that thing, and shaped up at that point, and then tackle something else. The idea of praying, "Lord, bless us in just the ways you see we need," that's not going to cover the ground. It never has, and it never will. We need to be specific in our praying. We need to be specific in concentrating on point by point if we work out things in our lives or things among us. Get specific. Not just praying, "Help us in every way we need. Help us in this way. This is what I'm looking at now. And I need help at this point." Now in this lesson I read, as I mentioned, it isn't an out-of-this-world experience. This was just a layout of the Church of God as it started out down there in Jerusalem. Just a solid down-to-earth thing. We need to consider it that way and get the idea out of our mind that it's impractical and that it can't just work like that now. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the church that he built is just the same. And it can work like that now if we'll work it. If we'll cooperate with God and get right in line with God's program, it can work like that now. And we need to build ourselves up in that kind of faith, that kind of thinking, and be encouraged along that line to be what God would have us to be. This is the model. And it's the model for all time. And we can rest assured that when it come fresh from the hand of God, there wasn't a defect in it, and it was just exactly like he wanted it. And the kind of a church that Jesus built and that he died for, paid the price for, that's the kind he'll have or he won't have any. And if we call ourselves a church of God and we're off course in our ways of life and so on, he doesn't claim that. He just claims what he bought and paid for and the kind that he established and built. Now, the apostles, we kind of encroached a little on my message this morning in the Sunday school. But maybe I won't have to say as much as I would have said otherwise in regard to some of these points. But when the apostles were let go, they had been arrested. That's a bad word to us, isn't it? A fella gets arrested, well, that's a bad word. A bad thing, but these folks had been arrested. And had been kept confined overnight. In prison, I suppose. In custody someplace. And it was because they had healed a man who was impotent in his feet and hadn't never walked in his life, and he was over 40 years old, and it created quite a stir around there, and a great crowd came running together, and they saw what had been done, and they were glorifying God, and the priests and the rulers couldn't stand that. So they laid hands on Peter and John, kept them in custody overnight, and the next day they brought them out and charged them strictly that they'd speak no more in this name, not do any more works in this name, don't teach the people about Jesus. Peter, in the boldness of the Holy Ghost, he said, whether it's right for us to listen to you or listen to God, you be the judge of that. But we cannot but tell the things that we have seen and heard. So they threatened them and turned them loose. They went to their own company. Now that's important. I believe in that. They may have passed up a bunch of synagogues and other sectarian worship places as they went down that street, but they knew where to go to find a group of people that would be in sympathy with their cause, that would support them. They went to their friends, their brethren. I believe in that, folks. I hear people talking, I'm broad-minded, I'm not group-minded, I just worship with all Christians. I don't believe in that kind of thing. I believe that the body of Christ is a separate, distinct, functional, visible body of Christ here in the earth. That's what I believe the Church of God is. And that's what I'm looking for everywhere I go. I'm not much group-minded. I believe in that. They went to their own company. I believe that you and I ought to have a church home, and the church home ought to be where God's born-again children are and where they're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I believe that's where we ought to call our church home. And that we ought not to feel at home anywhere else. They went to their own company and reported everything that had been done and all those threatenings and everything. In the Sunday school this morning, Clifford suggested that they might have said, oh, we ought to use more wisdom here. Ought to be kind of careful about just opening this up to the whole assembly. That's the way we talk today. That's kind of our thinking today, isn't it? We got new converts here. And we got people that don't know all about this and may not be thoroughly convinced of this. And just new people here. I'm sure they did. They may have had folks there that had just saved that morning. If not, it's almost certainly had folks that had just been saved the day before, because the Scripture says that the Lord added daily to the church such as were being saved. They're having folks added every day. New converts to the Christian faith brought into the church. We ought to shield them, protect them, just get a few of the elders together and report this thing. But no, they just went right before the open assembly and just opened it all up, and it never stymied anybody. They all just stood hitched, so to speak. And the result of it was, said when they heard this, they lifted up their voice. Now that's important. Not voices, there were about 5,000 of them in there. But it wasn't 5,000 voices, it was a voice. One voice. They lifted up their voice in one accord. Folks, maybe we could do a little shaping up at this point. It's important that we do. And that we stand in unison as a body, a representative body of Christ, with one spirit. And that when any need comes up, that's a public need, a need of the church, that we can all lift up our voice, all of us in unison, as one. Anytime that it isn't like that, concentrate on it. Here, Lord, this is where we need help right now. In our accord, in our unity, in our fellowship. We need help right at this point right now. Help us out here. Show us what to do about this. They lifted up their voice with one accord to God, and note how they prayed. They didn't pray for God to do anything to those people that were their antagonists in this conflict. They never said, "Now, God, you just put your power against these fellows that's threatening us and hold them in subjection, and we'll go on with the work of God." They never said, "Lay your hand on them and smite them somewhere or other." They never prayed for judgment against their enemies. What did these folks pray for? They prayed for themselves. And folks, that's what you and I need to do in time of test and trial and provocation and vexations and whatever, is to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and pray for ourselves that we will glorify God in that circumstance. Somebody said one time, you know, we get wonderfully tried at people sometimes. But somebody said once, said it's real remarkable the change that takes place in other folks when we just get a lot of grace and spiritual help on hands ourselves. Folks, that'll change things. We have a motto that says prayer changes things. And that's true, but prayer will do more than that. It'll change people too, and it'll change you, and it'll change your attitudes, and it'll change your feelings, and change your outlooks. And I've taken the stand, and I've expressed this numbers of times, that I am positive that it would be impossible for any person to entertain any bitterness or hard feelings toward any individual that they were praying for. They just don't stay in there together, folks. If you're tempted to feel bitter toward somebody, start praying for them. That's your defense. That's your way out of that. If a little hard feelings or bad attitudes keep lingering in your heart and mind toward somebody, just start praying for them. If you've been praying for them, pray for them more earnestly. One fellow said all his lifetime he'd been blessed with enemies. and that sometimes they had been more bitter than at other times. And said one time he was praying, and one of his most bitter enemies came right up before him, and the Lord said, pray for him. Well, it was a real chore for him to pray for him. He couldn't get at it for a while. But finally he did, and he said the more he prayed for that man, the easier he found for him to feel kindly toward that man. And finally, as he prayed for him, it just burst upon his vision what a wonderful Christian that man would make if he just had Christ. He'd just be saved. And then he was able to pray for him good. I think that's the man that said the Lord told him, says, you look at your enemy through my eyes. You see him like I see him. All right, these folks prayed for themselves. They were up against it. The threatenings had gone out against them. And here in the last part of this prayer, this whole company, new converts and all, just laid their lives right on the altar, right on the line for sacrifice or service. They didn't know what it meant. They didn't know what those rulers was going to do. They'd been threatened. But they said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. You know how that is. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Uh-oh. That's what they're in this trouble now for. Healing somebody. Miracle had been wrought out there. And they're supposed to stop all that. They might have said, well, we'll just kind of let up on the healing part and the miracles part. We'll go ahead preaching and teaching, but the confirmation of it, we'll just kind of let up on that till this thing kind of blows over. Well, them folks never had any idea like that. They let God know we're going right ahead just like we have been going. We're not letting up a bit. We're not backing up at all. One brother, when he was suffering badly, he prayed for himself and he says, God, you know I never have backed up for the devil since I've been saved, and I'm not doing it now. Well, these folks weren't backing up for the devil. They weren't giving any ground here. We're going right on just exactly like we've been going. All we ask of you now is to back us up. Confirm the word with signs following. Just keep healing and keep the signs and wonders coming right along, and we'll stay right in there with you and work right along with you. Folks, we're workers together with God. That's what the Bible said, and that's what these folks were saying to God. Whatever the consequences are, the threatenings are out there. We don't know how much ground they cover. We don't know what the situations will be. But we're workers together with God, and we're going to work right along with you just as long as you back us up. They weren't giving down for the devil on any ground. New converts like that. I'm impressed with the thought here that people in that day, when they got salvation, they got something. They didn't get the shallow kind of professions that many people get today. There aren't too many rock bottom experiences anymore. There aren't crowds that go deep and strike the rock and really come through and come up with something that'll carry them through. We're in a are superficial aids today. It's superficial all along the line. And in marriage, it's superficial. The vows don't mean much. They're broken like pie crust. And people go on their merry ways, and many times they get married these days thinking if this doesn't work out, there's just as good a fish in the sea as ever been caught yet. I'll just try another one. That seems to be kind of the attitude that the young world is operating on now. Just a light, superficial kind of thing. In every phase, this is true. Well, I can remember, I don't have to go back in my young days to remember when a man's word was his bond and they just expected people to back up what they said. If they said it, why, that was it. What people say don't mean all that much in these days. People can make promises today, and if it turns up and it's not convenient for them to fulfill them, well, they just go on their merry way. And this superficiality invades religion too. And much of it is that way today, just a superficial service kind of a thing. But that wasn't the way it was with these folks. These folks, when they got salvation, they was ready to lay their lives right on the line for sacrifice or service, whatever it meant. And they did it here. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, we're just going to heal some more folks. We're in this trouble because a man got healed. America got wrought. It brought honor and glory to the name of Jesus. That's the reason we've been threatened. That's the reason we're in this trouble. But we're going out and heal some more folks in Jesus' name. We're going to teach the same thing that we're in this trouble for and do the same things that brought us into this situation and that produced these threatenings. We're not backing up for the devil at all. Grant unto thy servants, praying for themselves. They weren't praying for them other people at all. They weren't even praying about them beyond the extent that they referred to them and their threatenings and said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings and see how this is. But then they turned right away from them and went on praying for themselves. And you know what the result of this was? On down in that next chapter, it said, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. God just backing it up and confirming the word with signs following and working right along with these folks and in this church. Now that's the model, folks. That's what he wants now. He wants you and me to be that way. And just how do we compare now at this point? If we find ourselves short, let's don't settle for this being an impractical thing and an out-of-this-world experience. Let's just settle on the fact that I'm short and this church is short and we need to concentrate on this point now until we whip it. Come out on top of it. We are in one accord. We can lift up our voice as one man's voice, however many of us there are, and that we're all consecrated and dedicated to God with our lives laid on the line for sacrifice or service, however God sees fit. The clock's almost around there, and we're at a breaking point right here. So we're going to stand and be dismissed.